Welcome
to Arlington.
Arlington Church of the Brethren.
Welcome to Arlington Church of the Brethren.
To Arlington Church of the Brethren.
Welcome.
Welcome to Arlington Church of the Brethren.
Brethren. Church of the Brethren.
To Arlington Church of the Brethren.
Welcome to Arlington Church of the Brethren.
Christ be in my mind and in my thinking. Christ be in my eyes. Everything I see, Christ be in my ears and in my hearing. Christ be in my mouth, in every word I speak.
Hear the words from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him.
You know, many of my hot summer Kansas days during my childhood were spent at the McPherson City Pool. And though the pool has long been replaced now by a much more water park-friendly recreation site, the pool of my memory was unique, and many came to our town to see and experience this pool. It was a unique design because it was this huge round pool, larger than this room, and the pool sloped down, kind of like a beach. And the further you walk toward the center, the deeper the floor of the cement bottom dropped. So it was this gradual decline all around the edge. And about 10 yards from the outside edge of the poolside, there was this wrought iron fence that was anchored into the cement all around the center. And there were Rhode Island four entrances that you could pass into what was the very deepest part of the pool. But in the very center of the pool was a large, it almost looked like a rocket ship to me, where the diving boards were placed at various levels. So you could climb up to the island, climb up ladders where the diving boards extended out. Okay? If you were a more experienced swimmer, you could pass through those entry points and you could climb under the ladders that were under the water to get up onto the island. Now, it was a big step for me when I earned the right during swimming lessons to venture into that deep side of the Rhode Island. For quite a while, I could not enter the center without someone right beside me. And I can recall clinging to that iron rod fence, almost frozen in fear. I wasn't sure if I'd ever have the courage to pass through those arches to go into the deep. It was about 8 to 10 feet deep when you entered past the fence. Was I ready to take the risk and enter where I knew that I couldn't even touch the bottom of the pool? The water even seemed darker, and you couldn't see. It was murky there, like some monster was underneath it. So, of course, it took me a long time to hear the encouragement of swimming teachers and even some of my friends, come on, let's venture into the deep. Of course, through the years, that became the place where I would go first every time I went to the pool. But it was also a place of great freedom, where I could jump off those boards and feel like I was flying through the air until my whole body splashed into the deep waters. I've thought about that pool so much this week as I've read this familiar scripture, because the boats were simply docked along the shore. The fishermen had been working all night, and they were definitely on their last leg. They were tired from a night of no luck and empty nets and boats. So Jesus summons Simon from his cleanup work, asking if he can use his boat as sort of a speaking platform. The crowd was pressing in, and it must have made sense to have just a little distance to put that boat out into the shallow part of the lake, because voices do carry well over water, and the people could see and hear better. And you know, we don't know one word of Jesus' sermon, nothing that he preached that day, but we do know what he did. He tells Simon, put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. Can't you just picture that eye roll? Okay, if you say so. And he heads out into the deep water, even though he was almost certain he wouldn't catch anything. And we know what happens next. He catches so many fish that they almost drown. As the fishermen haul those fish nets into their boats, Peter falls down at Jesus' knees. And he repents because he didn't believe. Jesus simply replies to those words that he often hears. Do not be afraid. It's such this dramatic moment in the story. Simon's name actually changes in this story, right in the middle of it. Suddenly, he's Simon Peter, and he's experienced something far beyond his understanding, something that makes him painfully aware of his own limitations and unworthiness. In the Message version of this text, Simon Peter says, I'm a sinner and I can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself. Overwhelmed with those two boatloads of fish, Simon realizes something far greater is at work here. So he's caught up in his own lack of faith and now fear, and he tells Jesus just to leave him alone. But Jesus is right where he wants to be. And he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Simon, because now, from now on, you're going to fish for men and women. And this is a story of abundance. It's a story full of surprises, full of fish and fear and faith. And it's a story about a surprising catch. We do know the story. It's familiar in every nerve and cell of our body. On the seas where you and I do our work, where we are the captains of our own boats, we've all come up against those times when there is nothing to show for all of our labor. We've worked hard. We've had the right tools, the skills, the degree even, the know-how, and the experience. And yet, our boat is still empty. We're doing everything we can, everything that's right, and still no results. We feel like failures. We're tired and confused, and now all we want to do is get a bite to eat and rest our weary souls. And God shows up. And the one who rules over the waters of life shows up and tells us to go deeper, to venture out into some new territory, into the deep waters. And what might be our response? You know, it was when I was tired and very discouraged that I was encouraged by my spiritual director to consider an 8-day silent retreat, to strike out into the deep. I briefly described my experience to the adult Sunday school class a couple of weeks ago, and it seemed many were somewhat stunned at the possibility of such an experience. But I am here to tell you that for me, it has been an experience which pushed me to new discoveries and has me thirsting for more. On 3 different occasions, at 2 different times or seasons of the year, I arrived at the Jesuit Center in Warnersville, Pennsylvania, where Jesuit priests have trained and continue to live and work there. It's a sprawling center on a beautiful acreage with a cathedral on many grounds, has more than 100 private rooms that offer space for folks like you and I to come away from the world and to simply be. The schedule for a silent retreat begins with an opening worship with maybe 20 to 30 retreatants. And from the time of that opening worship until the closing, 8 days later, you do not speak to one another, but eat in silence. You are encouraged not to bring other things to do. You can read some, to put away your cell phones for sure, but to observe. There are times when certainly time stands still, and there are certainly difficult discoveries and challenging points of discomfort, even anger and pain. And yet, when I could leave my fear with God each time, I began to feel this incredible gratitude, overwhelming joy. And those times in silent retreat often led me to discernment decisions about my future. Would I discern God's calling to me to be at a particular time in my life with the help of a spiritual director? Now, I'm fully aware that silent retreats are not for everyone, and there are many ways to go into the deep. We all have answers to God's call. We all have our reasons for avoiding the journey into the deep. The way isn't clear and we can't see where we're going. There are monsters, it seems, lurking in those waters. Monsters that might grab us and pull us under and down in our pain and our confusion. And then we convince ourselves that they're out there waiting, so many times we decide just to stay safe in the safe waters. But maybe we can't venture into the deep because we're exhausted and near burnout. We don't have another ounce of energy or a block of time to head us into new territory. Besides, why journey into deeper waters when these familiar waters are just fine? All is well where we're at. Life is comfortable. We know what we're doing, and we like things to be predictable and sure. But I do believe that God calls every one of us into the deep, always calling us to uncharted waters, to go to new places. Some are called into deep waters of forgiveness, into those deep places of the heart where we learn to forgive, where we need forgiveness. We're not all going in the same ways of entering those deep waters. In fact, I just read in the Washington Post yesterday, people going into deep places of other topics. A new term for me called a sommelier. It means a fine wine waiter. And I learned about how persons can be experts at wine or honey or chocolate or cheese, and there's certifications and schools, all worthy in their own right. And I was fascinated, but I also wonder if those kind of explorations avoid the deep call of God in our lives, the deep that invites us to explore. We all have our individual prompts, but when Jesus calls for moving into the deep, what might that mean for you? What might it mean for Arlington Church of the Brethren? I can hear some of you say, we've worked all night. We've worked for many years. And we are discouraged. Venturing into the deep, murky waters is exploring how God is calling us now for this time and this place. And what fears do we have to let go of to go to a different place? We're called to the deep by one who is right here with us. We don't go alone. God is right there coaching, encouraging us to dive in, to let go of fear. And perhaps the last thing those tired fishermen were expecting was that overwhelming showing of God's amazing power. Right there, at the end of a regular workday. The same night might be said of our workdays, as they hold the possibility of seeing God at work. Someone has said that Jesus still shows up and surprises us. I know that. And the next thing I know is that lives are changed forever. In the deep waters of faith, there is more than enough, always more than we can handle. But the one who calls us into the deep always says, do not be afraid. And if we listen, if we lay aside our fear, I think there's a whole new world. I've begun to ask myself, how might this building continue to be even a better tool for ministry and outreach in the Arlington community? How might we invest further in the building? Perhaps new lighting, maybe new artwork, even a new kitchen, perhaps. Could it offer comfortable, creative space for more to gather and strengthen the ministry here? How might your willingness to truly listen to one another's pains and hurts and dreams across generations open you up to living in the deep more fully? And how could your willingness to sit down with someone perhaps you've had some conflict with venture you into a deep place for you to help understand one another's pain as well as joys? Venturing into the deep might look like doing Lectio Divina together with more focus for an intentionality to listen to God in the midst of it all. Perhaps our challenge is to listen honestly and openly with one another without protecting our own agenda. No doubt it's incredibly challenging work. But I guarantee that God will be with all of us, right beside us. For God is calling us as individuals and as a congregation into the deep. Amen.